Hey, good morning, everybody. Such a good day. Every day with Jesus, what does the song say, is sweeter than the day before? Wow, it is sweeter than the day before. We appreciate Lucia being here with us today. She has a pretty bubbly personality. I like her. Met her for the first time yesterday. And we appreciate everything that went forth yesterday for Gail's celebration of life. I thought everything went well, but it went well in Jesus. That's how I'd like to put it. It went well in Jesus. The things that we wanted to do and accomplish, God got that over. He did it. Met some very interesting people, made some new friends, and that was very, very good. We were very pleased in how God took care of everything, you know, in spite of some other things that were happening, but very, very happy in what God did. And we have to give the glory to God because He's the only one that can touch every heart and every soul and bring forth the things that are necessary. We appreciate the things that were said by members of our congregation, all the work that was done. I just looked at everything, and I'm very, very happy as your pastor, how everything came together. It was very good, every one of you. That was such a good thing. You know what, the occasion we were there for, that's going to happen more. Going to happen, and maybe more among us, you never know, or others that we know that are friends or whatever. I like the idea of a celebration of life because it's the same way I feel about flowers. You know, to me, we do it after someone passes, we'll send flowers and, you know, things like that. You know, when I like to do it, when do I like to do it, Evelyn? While they're living. So on a couple of occasions, we sent flowers to Gail at different times. And for people to be able to smell them and see the beauty of them then, to know the sentiments of the heart then. After they've passed, they don't know that. You know, but as our sentiments come forth, it's a type of a shadow of love. You know, you see a representation of how people feel. And I think that's a good thing. It's a very good thing. So many, many things that went forth yesterday. To me, there was a lot of learning too, a lot of teaching. We learned some things, and I think that's very good. So I heard nothing but compliments about how we worked together, about the food, about everything. People were coming up to me and just saying things, nice things, and gosh, my heart swelled because how can I put it? It was noted that it was our church that was doing it. So it was very, very good. Very good. So we appreciate everything that went forth. We've been talking lately to you about what the last thing we talked about. Can anybody remember what that was? What was the big subject that we were? It was on grace, huh? A lot of people don't understand grace. Grace is the work that God performs in your life. You know, we hear all of these things about grace is God's unmerited favor and whatever. Yeah, that's just a Webster's Dictionary thing. What we want you to understand that the grace of God is how God works in your life. The works that He performs in you that cause you to want to labor for Him because He's the Christ being in you. What did Christ do as an example? Did He always do what the Father asked Him to do? Yeah, He was always obedient to that. In fact, He actually says that. He said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only go where the Father tells me to go. Everything was in that. Dan was mentioning this morning about obedience. Do you remember that one of the last messages that Rick preached was on obedience? Anybody remember that? He spoke about obedience. Very good, but But to be obedient to God is to yield yourself to God, not to follow your own will, but to follow the will of God. That's tough for us to do sometimes. We say it with our mouth a lot. Oh yeah, I want to do the will of God. I want to do the will of God. But when it actually comes down to it, sometimes there's a hesitation, or sometimes there's a stumbling block, or something that comes forth that causes us to second think it, or to go over it again, or not be able to do what we said from our mouth. The scripture talks about how we say things out of the abundance of the heart. What? The mouth speaketh. So what's really in your heart is going to eventually come out. I'm going to use this term. I use that a lot because I listen to what people say. You know what I love? I love to hear the word that I preach from God come back to me. I love that. When I hear people speak things that they've learned from God, I love for it to come back to me because they've heard something through the preaching. But also, it reveals your heart to me. How you speak out of your mouth, the thoughts that come out and you verbalize them, reveals a lot to me. You know, that's one of my key things. I listen very closely to what people say. Not to judge it, but to hear what's actually in their heart and see it come forth. And I've seen some things and heard some things sometimes, and it's contrary to what the outer person was. What they said from their heart was different from how they present themselves. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that? That's, you know, it's slightly different, huh? And but these things are caught when I listen. So Jesus did the same thing. Now, what do we have in us that God said that we're part of? Didn't he say we're part of the kingdom of God? I want to read something to you here. This is very cool. And I want you to think about what I'm reading. Now, this 11th chapter of Revelation, it's talking about certain things being poured out and angels taking care of certain aspects of what God said to do. But I'm not going into that. That's a long, big lesson. It would take weeks, and we could go through each section, whatever. That's not what we're here to do today. I want to get something very specific out of this. And it's 11:15 of Revelation. Now listen to this. I'm going to read it to you. And the seventh angel sounded. Now, this is the completion of what God's doing in this thing. The seventh angel, isn't that seven, the God's number of perfection? So this is kind of like the last angel to bring forth something very, very important for us, okay? So the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, who would that be, you think? What are the great voices in heaven? It'd be the angels, but would it also be the heavenly host? Would it also be the angels of God, like you said? Would it also be the elders that sit, the 24 elders that sit there? Would it be all of that? Could it be the holy beast with the four faces, all of it saying that? Have you ever read about those things? There's a good beast and a bad beast. The good beast has four faces, and it could be saying those things too. It could be the seraphims and the cherubims, the two classes of angels. All of them are saying these things, okay? Very important. The great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of the Lord and his Christ. Wait, there's a change happening here, huh? Kingdoms of this world. Now, naturally, the first thing you start thinking about is this physical world that we live in. Kingdoms everywhere, you know, like the kingdom of Russia, the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Africa, kingdom of whatever it may be. Well, that's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about, the kingdoms of this world is the world inside you. How many of you realize that there's authorities in you, good and evil? The authority of God is through the Holy Ghost, through his spirit, through his word, and so forth. That is a government God has set up in you, a spiritual government within your world. Your world is within you. It's in your heart, your mind. It's really the center of your mind where your thoughts come from. That is the world that God's talking about. Where's that at, Ernest? Is it Ecclesiastes 3:11? Yeah, could you get that for me about the scripture talks about how God put a world in our heart. You don't hear this preached, but he put a world in our heart for a very specific reason. So read that for me real loud.
He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end.
So no man can find out the works that God maketh from beginning to the end. Why would God put a world in our heart and then not let us find out about God's works from beginning to end? Because he's going to teach it to us. That's why. So he put that world in there to use it as an instrument to teach us. Well, what world is this? It's an inner world. It's not this one we walk in out here. Remember, he said he put it in their heart. So this is a spiritual inner world that he put in us so that he can start teaching us by this inner world, by what we think. Isn't that what's really where your heart is at? We're not talking about this thing that beats blood. We're talking about the heart of your mind, the heart of your soul, okay? And don't we have thoughts there? And this is how God deals with us. He deals with us according to our thoughts. Don't we have to think first before we can even do anything here? That's the way it works. It comes in thought. Well, what do you think God's going to deal with? He's going to deal with your thought. He's going to deal with your heart. And so he doesn't reveal everything about himself all at once, which is why he's going to teach you along the way, so that you don't know the ending from the beginning or beginning from the end. He's going to teach it to you. Well, how's he going to teach it? What did it say about Jesus? Jesus is the beginning and he's the end. So wait a minute. He said, so you wouldn't know that beginning and end, huh, Ceci? Except through who?
Jesus.
He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, right? This is it. It's all of him. So when we start thinking about kingdoms, there are good kingdoms and bad kingdoms. Have you ever been in a kingdom of fear? I have. Have you ever been in a kingdom? Have you ever had so much fear every night when you go to sleep or when you throughout your day or certain things are happening and you're just fearful, fearful, fearful? Do you realize there was a kingdom that was built in you? And it was built by an adversary. It was built by Satan. It's built by a spirit that does not love God. That's why you have so much fear. Sometimes it comes to you've got things in you, pride. Has anyone ever dealt with the kingdom of pride? Oh, my God. How many of us have dealt with that kingdom of pride? Rick used to tell me all the time. He said, Kenny, think about what happened in heaven during that fall. You know what it was? It was pride. That was the basis for all of it, wanting to know more, listening to another voice to think that you could get something different than what God was giving you. Didn't it work in the garden that way? She saw the tree and said, this is going to be good for food. Oh, I'm going to gain something by this. You see how it works? And so then she was seduced by it, and then what? Sin enters the world. So this pride thing is a big thing. Rick used to tell me this. He said, Kenny, it's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope because we delude ourselves into thinking we don't have pride. That's what we do. We delude ourselves into thinking, oh, I don't have pride. And you're manifesting it every day. I'm serious. It's the funniest thing. There are people who told me, oh, I don't have pride. And I said, oh, wait a minute. So what was I seeing? What was it that I saw, you know, when that thing raised its head? I'm aware of kingdoms, guys. I'm aware of kingdoms in you and in me. Have I had to deal with pride? Oh, my God, have I had to deal with it? Have I had to deal with it? And God has shown me much by these kingdoms. So it's set up by an authority that's not of God, right? If it's lust, if it's pride, if it's anger, if it's hatred, all those things, those are all set up by spirits that do not like God. And how are they going to get back at God? Through you. If they can start messing with his creation and then say, look what I've done. I've taken them and made them follow me and they don't follow you. Does that make sense? It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? There used to be a thing we used to say. we go out there. I love marbles. I used to play marbles, you know. And we had the boulders were the big ones, and then we had the cat's eyes and all those stuff. Remember that stuff? And we dig a little hole and then knock the other person's thing in there. I loved it. So, but then, you know, the all the ones that had all of these great collection of marbles, and we'd all be playing and whatever, and somebody would get mad because you knocked their marble out of the ring. And you know what they would do? They'd take all their marbles, put it in their sack, and they'd walk off and go home. And you couldn't play no more. Because they got mad, right? Isn't that how it worked? They got mad, and they just, you know, they take their stuff and they go home. Or you've been playing basketball, and they're getting beat. They say, well, I'll take my ball, I'm going to go home. Nobody can play the game anymore because what happened in all of that? Oh, my God. So I'm bringing it down to children because you know why? We're children. We're children. Sometimes we oppose God by what he wants to do in us, and those spirits want to take you away from God. They want to take you away from God. They want to pull you in a direction. If they don't pull you, guess what they do? They put something in your path where you stumble over it. Isn't that, you've heard of stumbling blocks, huh? That's what they do. They'll put something in your path where you stumble over it. They're very devious in what they do, but I want to bring this to your attention. We're dealing with spirits. Satan is a spirit. Jezebel is a spirit, according to the second chapter of Revelation. Spirit of Jezebel, right? Spirit of Balaam. Spirit of lust. Spirit of a beast. Didn't God say, I want to manifest to men and show them that they are beasts? Said, I'm not no beast. Yeah, you are. You know what a beast is? The scripture tells us, I think it's the 49th chapter of Psalms, it says a beast is a man in honor without understanding. It actually says that. It's a man that has honor, or we give him honor in this world, don't we? But they don't understand God. A man in honor without understanding is a beast. You know why? Because he'll start treating you like a beast would. Paul said this, I fought with men as beasts at Ephesus. You know what he was doing? He was debating this word of God with them day after day. And it got to the point where some of them got so angry they wanted to kill him. But he would keep debating the word. He would show them what God was actually saying. But he understood that they had the honor of being men that say that they knew God and really didn't. But he said, but what would happen is, he said, they treated me like a beast. I fought with them. He actually uses the term fought. I fought with them as beasts at Ephesus. He had to fight these men literally with his word. These spirits that came against him, he would fight against that spirit. How did he fight against it? With the word of God. He would preach that truth, and they would get so angry. They'd get so upset. At one time, he was preaching so hard in a city called Lystra. They dragged him out of the city. He's debating. Dragged him out of the city. He said, you ain't going to talk no more, boy. We're going to get you right now. And they stoned him, thinking they had stoned him to death. He was stoned outside of Lystra, and they left him there. Oh, he's dead. And they walked back into the city. Paul got up, walked to the next place. Oh, it didn't mean he wasn't hurt. Didn't mean that he didn't go through the stoning. He did. He tells that in his testimony about things. Another time they took him and they lashed him. 40 stripes, save one, which means he got 39. That happened to him 3 times. Can you imagine exposing your back and having a cat of nine tails with all those things on it and guy hitting you 39 times across your back? Can you imagine that? You know they did it to Jesus too, didn't they? Can you imagine that? Paul went through it 3 times. He was so adamant about the word of God that he wasn't going to give up. So beat me. Stone me. Do whatever you want to do. Put me in prison. I'm still going to preach the word of God. I'm still going to preach the kingdom of God. We have to have that same mind. We have to say, Dan's been teaching about death. Sometimes we're so scared of what death is here that we forget about there's a greater death. There's a greater death where you go to a place where you're just thinking about things of damnation. You want to kill some things in you. And so you say, wait a minute, what's he talking about? I want you to kill fear in you, because you're going to take God to do it. Hatred, jealousy, envy. We need to kill those things. We need to kill the lust. All of those things need to die in us. So don't be afraid of death. Death comes when sin is involved. Sin brings death. What you want to do is bring life. So you have to kill that thing. Didn't it say that our old man is crucified with him? Well, what do you think all of that is? That's in the old man, isn't it? What do you think Jesus did on the cross besides dying for our sins? He crucified that old man. You can find that in the 6th chapter of Romans. When Christ was crucified, the old man was crucified with him. That gives us an opportunity to overcome the old man in us. If Christ crucified him on the cross, so what can we crucify him? Can we get that thing right with God? It takes Jesus to help us to do it. So we're talking about kingdoms in us, right? So these kingdoms have a certain amount of authority. Have you gone along for years, let's say, having fear, or years of having pride, whatever, and you got comfortable with it? Isn't that true? Got a little comfortable with it. And this thing created a kingdom in you, didn't it? And so in that kingdom, you just walked around and you allowed this thing to bring the thought to you and you followed it and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, one day you find out, wow, Jesus is telling me that's not where I need to be. You find out through the preaching of the word that you have to come against this thing and that it's a spirit trying to drive you away from God. Isn't that what it is? And you realize it. And then you start crying, help me, Jesus. I want to get rid of this. I want this to die in me. I don't want to take part in this anymore. Because you find out it's not good for you. Right? So that's what starts to happen. Do you think that adversary, that spirit, likes the idea that he's being defeated? That his kingdom is being brought down? Guess what he does? He redoubles his efforts. Have you ever seen that happen? You're winning a victory over something, and all of a sudden, all of this stuff starts coming at you. Starts coming at your mind. You start hearing many voices, lots of different thoughts. You don't have peace. You're tossing and turning on your bed. What is going on? It doesn't want to let go. It's a kingdom. It's developed in you. Okay? So now there's another kingdom. I love this kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. So let me show you something here. I read that scripture. Let me read it one more time. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. So those elders realize, what is Jesus doing? Is he taking power away from those things that had authority over you? He's taking it, isn't he? He's taking their power away from them. Oh, they thought, I had him. I had you for a long time, is what they're saying. I'm going to keep you. These evil spirits, they want to keep you. They've developed a kingdom. They're the authority in that kingdom. And for a while, it was like we had a ring in our nose and it would pull us any way they wanted to pull us. And we followed it, didn't we? Scripture says this, and such were some of you. We followed that evil. We followed that wickedness. And then we found out about Jesus and how he could deliver. How he could deliver. So this is powerful. So Jesus is telling us that there's a power in us that you don't realize that you have. We're going to read something here, if I can remember where it's at. Luke 17 and 20. This is so powerful. So powerful. This is Jesus. Who was Jesus' enemies all the time when he was walking? Pharisees. Were they religious people? Did they say that they knew God? But they hated him. Why? They hated him. But they said, oh, we know God. Abraham's our father. God is our father, whatever. And they were the ones that came to the point where they convicted him before Pilate and said, crucify him. But they know God, supposedly, right? You think they're in somebody's kingdom that they don't realize that they're in? Yeah. They're in the kingdom of Satan and doesn't even realize that he's their authority. Very powerful. But let's show you something else here. This is them giving Jesus a hard time. So 17:20 of Luke. And when he was demanded, whoa, wait. We demand you. You give us an answer. They don't know who they're talking to, number one, to demand anything. But they're demanded. And he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. He answered them and said, now catch this, guys, because this is you. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Did you realize the kingdom of God's in you? The kingdom of God is within you. Wait a minute. I always point up this way, and it's up there. No. Start pointing here. Start pointing here. In the thought, in your heart, in your world that he created, the kingdom of God is within you. And they're going to tell you, oh, it is over there somewhere. Or it's there over here right there. Or it's where they're building that big church over here. Or it's where they're building this edifices. They're sending people overseas. They're doing this. People are being one to God. And you have to stop for a minute and think. Didn't he say that broad was the way that leadeth to destruction? But narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life. And there'll be a traveler on that road every once in a while. It's not going to be great hordes and numbers of people following that. It's going to be every once in a while a traveler. In fact, Jesus typified it when he was here. Didn't he take 12 men and turn the world upside down? He did, didn't he? Very powerful. 120 on the day of Pentecost. Think about what we're saying here. It's an amazing thing. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into his kingdom. Because they don't realize who they need to serve yet. They're still following another authority, another kingdom within them. And this kingdom is headed by a devil and by Satan himself. And sometimes we get deceived into thinking, oh, that's not so bad. Have you ever found something that was small and you said, oh, that's not so bad? I'm going to tell you something. There was a neighbor we had one time, and she was doing some work on a door or something, and she got one of those long splinters right in her finger. Have you ever had that happen? Oh, my God. That little thing, will it cause a lot of pain? Every time you move, you seem like your whole body hurts when that thing is in there. It's a sliver of a piece of wood or something there, but it hurts. And she started crying. She's a grown woman. Started crying, and she couldn't pull it out. She came over to my wife next door and said, help me, help me, help me. And she, Claudia was wondering, what has she done? And then she showed that long splinter going all the way to, Claudia had to go get something, pliers, and grab hold of it. She said, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. She warned her. And she put those pliers on there and grabbed the end of that thing and pulled it out. Sometimes what God has to do for us, it seems like it hurts us, but it's getting rid of that thing that's caused us pain. It's getting rid of that thing that's trying to infect us. It's getting rid of that thing that wants to bring us alongside of it and keep us from serving God. So it may hurt when you get drawn away from it because you're used to it. It may hurt a little bit, but boy, will you feel better after it's all over with. Isn't that true? I'm talking about kingdoms here now, guys. Kingdoms. So, I read to you that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Oh, now you get Jesus' takeover. Does he take over those kingdoms? Does he have the power to do it? Didn't it say he's drawn all of his power back to him? What little power those kingdoms did have, he's taken it. He's taken the power of those kingdoms in you. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you. Even when we pray the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What is he telling you? I'm taking it back. Woo! I'm taking that kingdom back. It belongs to me. Me. Jesus' takeover. He's taking it over, man. He's taking the power from those kingdoms. Yeah, we stayed with them a long time. We sinned in them. We messed up in them. But God said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The only way you can get it is to follow me. And I'll kick that kingdom out of your world. You won't have to deal with it no more. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. He has taken the power back. Whew. I love it. Can you see it in your mind? Can you see devils falling down and saying, what do you have to do with me right now? The man that was the demoniac with all the devils in him, what did they say? I love this. When he put his foot down on that land, he stepped off the ship, that thing ran up to him like it was going to do something. But what did it do when it got to him? Fell down and bowed. Go back and read it. Go back and read it. It says it. He ran. Rah, rah, boom. Woo! That's powerful to me. Didn't it say he had legions of devils in him? 2,000 devils, at least. Whew. You think that man got all those devils at once? Or one lie believed, then another lie believed, then another lie believed, then another lie, another, until it formed a whole kingdom, didn't it? Yeah. And he needed to be delivered. Was he tormented? Oh, he was tormented. Cried out, lived among the tombs, cut himself, broke chains. He was off, as we would say. He was insane, wasn't he? Because of spirits that had established a kingdom in him. Wow, powerful. And then they said, would you come to judge us before our time? You coming to take care of us before our time? Because they know Jesus is it. They know that. Doesn't the scripture say the devil knows he has but a short time? So they realize that when Jesus steps on the scene, they start quaking because he's God. They start quaking. Have you come to do this to us before our time? Be quiet. I love that too. Be quiet. Shut up is how we would say it. What's your name? Legion. Because we are many? Okay. This is powerful, huh? They started begging him. They knew what was coming next. He's going to cast us out. They knew it. They said, please, let us go into the swine. Because unclean spirits need something to work in. Does that make sense? If they're unclean spirits, they need something to work in. How many unclean spirits have ever worked in you? They need something to work in. They need a body to work in. You see how that works? Wow. So they knew what was going on. And Jesus told them, okay, I'll give you leave. But don't go until I give you the leave. You can't move until I say you can move. Now, take your leave and go. And they went to the swine. And what happened to the swine? Ran down a steep hill, a cliff, went into the water, drowned, choked in the water, right? But was the man delivered? When the apostles came back, or I'll call them apostles, but disciples came back, and they saw him sitting next to Jesus, he was clothed, because before he was naked. He was clothed, and he was in his right mind again. All the devils of that kingdom were gone because they'd been cast out by the kingdom takeover man, Jesus. He took over their kingdom and took their power. And they didn't have any more power over the man. He was delivered. Wow. I'm delivered. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm delivered. I'm delivered. And I'm still being delivered. Are the things that come upon you from time to time? I'm still being delivered. These kingdoms that try to set themselves up, God says no more. I have the authority. All power in heaven and earth is given into my hand. He said that, didn't he? Was that a declaration? Uh-huh. Was it true? Uh-huh. So we did that. It's very powerful to understand what Jesus is doing for us. He has taken things out of us that we've struggled with for years. Haven't we, Laura? We've struggled with them for years. And he's taken them out. He's delivering us. He's healing us and bringing a healing to our whole world. He's walking in it, up and down in it, in power, saying, I am the Christ that is within you. I am the anointing in you. I have made you a son of God, and you are not going to suffer like that no more. Whew. That's my God. That's the God I serve. So are you troubled? Start thinking about why you're troubled. Are you in pain and afflicted? I'm not talking about natural pain. Are you in pain and afflicted? Yes. Do you need to be rid of it? Yes. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. His Christ is His anointing. Isn't that true? This is what God is doing. His anointing is changing us. And His anointing comes through the wisdom and understanding of that word. It comes through His Spirit that He has given us from on high. He helps us every day. I like that scripture saying, He's angry with the wicked every day. He's angry with the wicked every day. That's scripture, guys. So if He's angry at them, is He doing things to take their kingdom from them? Yes, He is. I'm angry with them every day for what they do to my people, what they're trying to do to my people. I'm angry with them every day. He can do that because He's God, right? Wow. So, Jesus' takeover. He's taken over these kings. Have you ever heard of these guys that do these hostile takeovers of companies? You know, we're going to override you. We're just going to take you and all that stuff. That's here in this world. Let them try to take over what Jesus is doing. They're going to come up empty-handed, and He's going to take their company. He's going to take their power. He's going to take their tribulation that they gave to us and put it back on them. You catch it? It's the takeover that Jesus does of every kingdom that's not His. So didn't He say the kingdom of God is within? If it's in you, is He going to help you, Ceci, to overcome? Because He put His kingdom in you. He put the world in you. So now He's going to help you to overcome. He gave us a warning. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation. That means trouble. Guess who causes that trouble? All of those demons and spirits and whatever. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Sometimes we think all of that stuff in us is almost like it's impossible to overcome. Yeah, you as a human being, you in the flesh, yeah, you're not going to overcome it. Who does it take to help you with that? Or it takes Jesus. Jesus says, take over. He's going to take over all those kingdoms of the world. Whose world? Your world. All of them that have bothered you all these years, He's going to take them over. He is taking them over. Not going to, He is. I feel it in me. Do you feel it in you? He's taking them over. And He's taken their power from them, Ernest, so they have not the power to do what they've done in the past. And that's because faith, and that faith worketh by love, it says in the scripture. Doesn't it say that? So you believe God by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Are you hearing it now? So your faith is being increased to kick that thing out. Woo! With the power of Jesus. I love it. God is real, guys. He's real. This is no fake thing. This is no thing where you don't understand. We understand he's in us. And his spirit, the Holy Ghost is real. And God's doing his work. And there's no way you're going to get away from the Holy Ghost. God is everywhere present, isn't he? Nowhere absent. Is he everywhere? Well, people say, you mean God's in hell? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. There's no place God is not. He said, if you make your bed in hell, I'm there. He's showing you he has power over all of it. Every bit of it. That's a kingdom, hell is. But who's over all kingdoms? So if you make your bed in hell, guess what? He's there. That way, if you cry out while you're in hell, he can reach forward and say, I've been waiting on you to change your mind, change your thoughts. I can grab you and pull you out of hell now. Whoa. I can take you out now. You've been tormented long enough. Now let me pull you out. It takes God to do that. There's a friend of mine. This is my testimony. And when I met him for the very first time, he looked at me and he says, oh, there you are. He said, I reached down and I pulled you up out of the pit. And that was true. We all need friends, don't we? Didn't Jesus say he would be the best friend? No greater friend than the one that'll lay his life down for you? But he laid his life down, but here's where the power comes in. He picked it up again. Didn't he say that? He received a commandment from his Father. Yeah, go lay it down, die for humanity, but I want you to pick it up again. That's the power of the resurrection. You heard me preach about that the last couple of weeks. That resurrection was for us. That's the power of it. Raised from the dead, raised from sin and death to walk in the newness of life. Only God can do that. So, Jesus' takeover. He's taking it over, guys. Every kingdom that thinks it's got something going on, Jesus said, not anymore. They all belong to me. The kingdoms of this world, our Lord and his Christ have taken them over. So go back and read that in 11:15 of Revelation, because that's a promise to you. It's to every one of you. I took it over, and now you are free from sin. And you can walk in the kingdom that I have within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Didn't we read it? People don't get their word the way they're supposed to. We're giving you the word so you can go back and look at it and say, that does say that. Yeah, it does. And it's in there for you, Laura. It's in there for you, John, Patty, Shante, Tondi. It's in there for you. The Gomez's. Lucia, it's in there for you, isn't it? This is good stuff. It's good stuff. I'm excited. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm just bubbling. Because I know what God's doing. And you know what he showed me? He showed me kind of like a little vision of these things being torn down. Jesus just walking through and speaking a word, and it falls. Goes walk someplace else and speaks a word and it falls. The kingdom falls. He walks someplace else and speaks a word and it falls. They can't stand his word. His word is power. And when Jesus speaks it, who's going to stand against it? Nobody. So he's walking, says, you're done. You're done. You're done. Woo! You're done. Now it all belongs to me. All belongs to me. All power in heaven and earth. What power you did have, you lost it. Because it's mine. You catch it? This is good stuff, guys. This is good stuff. I want everybody to stand. We're going to say a prayer. And we're standing because there's a scripture that talks about standing in the house of God with your hands lifted up. You can do that. We're going to say a prayer. Lift your hands toward heaven. Lord God of heaven, we bless your holy name. We give you glory and honor. All honor belongs to you. It says in your prayer, hallowed be thy name. That means we reverence you, Lord God. We give all glory to you. And we ask you, Lord God, right now, your word has shown us what you're doing to those kingdoms. We want everyone in here to take this home with them, Lord, and believe it. Let the heart believe it, their mind believe it, and understand that you are taking over those false kingdoms and that you're taking back what belongs to you and that they belong to you. All of us belong to you, and we don't want to be separated from you in any way. Guide us in it. Strengthen us. Help us to overcome these spirits through you, because we can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it through the flesh, but we can do it through the Holy Ghost, through the Spirit that you are. We are the sons and daughters of God, and we walk confidently, say that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, that we are. And let us walk as the children of the kingdom, and we'll be careful to give you the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody give God a hand clap. God bless you. God bless all of you.